funny. It tastes like paint. And wood.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast.
Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
Hello, people of the internet. Welcome to the Homemade Broadcast, heard right here on Radio St. Pete, every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. Boom! Worldwide. I always like that because if you're on the internet, you could say you're worldwide, global. You got a global reach. This program has a global reach, folks. Who would ever thought little boy Bill would have a worldwide syndicated podcast program to hear around the world? It's insane. I don't even think my parents could come up with a bigger story for me, right? My name is Will Koontz. I'm host of this here program, The Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Nice to be with you once again. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing pretty good. I'm really tired. Not going to complain about it, though. This is real life. This is what people have to do to achieve success. You have to work a lot. There's nothing given to you in life. You have to go out and get it and work for it. Started a new job this week at Cox Media Group. I'm going to be doing promotions for 102.5 The Bone, which is very exciting. Getting ready to record another City Hall podcast this week on Wednesday, which should be out next week on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you check that out. Keep up with the intimate, kind of relaxed setting with City Hall with Kevin King, the mayor's chief of staff, and Ben Kirby. He told me his title. I keep forgetting, but it's something high up there. He does, like, media relations or something. I don't know. Good guys, though. I think we're having Wayne something. Should know this. But he does stuff with the arts here in St. Pete this week. So it should be a good show. Check it out on Radio St. Pete. I put it on my RSS feed as well. So subscribe to HMB Radio on iTunes. You can get us on YouTube. You know, wherever, we're all over the place. It's worldwide. It's global, baby. You know it. The show is brought to you by Sly Bar. Check out the comedy open mics every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Pete. They got food now. They got beers. It's always a good time. I hung out there on Saturday night. Always have fun. I don't even go anywhere else. I don't really like downtown that much. I did go to Ruby's, though. Ruby's Elixir. On Thursday night after the Yard of Ale, Mike. By the way, check out the Yard of Laughs with me and John Jacobs every Thursday, 10 to midnight. You can find all that on, I don't even really list that on the Facebook. I want to see if I can get an intern. I know that's like kind of speaking like, who are you? And I hear you, I understand, but I need to get somebody to like update the website and do all these things I don't have time to do anymore. I wonder if I could get one. Is that possible? Maybe. I guess I could ask. I always have no. Ruby's Elixir's cool. Hung out there on Thursday night with Kyle Roos, Justin Kupo after the open mic. It was a lot of fun. I'm not really into jazz, really, but I enjoy watching people play live jazz. So I wouldn't, like, listen to it at home, but I do enjoy watching people play it. So that was a revelation. Learned something new about myself. So I'm going to start going there maybe Thursday nights after the open mic. This show is also brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. My friend Chrissy Parker down there, Creative Loafing Best of the Bay, nominated hair stylist person, 8908 4th Street North Unit B here in St. Petersburg, 329-9751 if you want to make an appointment. Did Sly Bar, that's it. I'm trying to get Yard of Ale to sponsor, too. Haven't heard anything. Got my check from them. They didn't sign it, so I can't put it in the bank, which sucks because I want to eat some food, man. I'm tired of getting stiffed. I got stiffed again. All right, so I didn't get stiffed yet because we're still in communication. This is why I'm not doing anything anymore unless I at least get half up front. I think that's a pretty normal operating procedures. I still haven't been paid for a thing that I did like 2 weeks ago now, and this guy promised up and down that he would never do that to me, and he's doing it. He keeps on coming up with excuses, though. Whenever I do, he hasn't just, like, stopped responding to me or anything. He'll just be like, I need a few more days. And it's like, not looking good for you, buddy. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I told him one time we were going to do this thing, and I was like, look, I need to get paid up front because I got stiff from the Keep St. Pete local people. That lady totally stiffed me, $300. And I was like, look, dude, I've been stiff before. I don't think you're that type of guy. I'm not trying to say that you are, but I need to get paid up front. And he kind of got insulted. I would never do that to you. And I'm like, look, I know. And I didn't think she would do that either. But she did. This time, it looks like the same thing. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Nah, I'm just not going to pay you. I know things happen. But let's be upfront. Let's be honest about it. Let's talk about it. Let's come up with a solution for it. Let's not just avoid the situation and run. Like I said, we'll see. He may come through still. He hasn't completely stopped talking to me. So we shall see. I've already written it off. Like, I'm not going to get it. So just won't work for you anymore. Lesson learned. And I'm definitely, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Wait, no, I got that wrong. I feel like George W. Bush right now. Fool me once, shame on you. You fool me, you can't get fooled again, is what I'm trying to say. I remember he messed up that quote. I still think about that. It was one of the best things ever. I love that guy. He'd be nice to just, he seems like he'd be awesome to have a beer with. I don't think he drinks anymore, although he was swaying a lot and dancing at the Dallas Memorial for the cops. That was pretty weird. But he might have, like, I don't know, maybe he's on pills or something. I don't know. Something's going on with him. I'll do pills with George W. Bush if he wants. Sure, let's hang, dude. Let's get it on, as they say, as the kids say. But, so I'm burning the candle at both ends, working hard, and my guest this week knows all about working hard. Ray Roa is the new creative loafing music editor, took the spot of longtime writer Leilani Polk. She went up to Washington or something to go live. And this guy started Suburban Apologist. He's a writer for other stuff. I know he does a lot. I know he does radio for 88.5 too. I mean, the dude's always working. And we had to schedule a special time to come do this because I had to work within his schedule and my schedule, and we finally made it work. So this week, Ray Roa joining me on the program. I don't think I have anything else to say. I guess I could just wait for Ray. Yeah, all right, so when we come back, yes, okay. When we come back, you won't even know the difference, but Ray Roa from Creative Loafing will be joining me this week on The Homemade Broadcast, or right here on Radio St. Pete and HMBRadio.com. Oh, if you want to, I know what I can do. Text or leave a voicemail for the program, 813-693-2124. You can do that. Get in touch with us at facebook.com/HMB Radio. We got James Bailey's podcast. I kind of got annoyed with James Bailey today because he doesn't know how YouTube works, and he thinks he does. And I'm not fighting with anybody anymore. Whatever you want to do, dude, that's what we'll do. I'm trying to build a brand here, but you know better. So I'm not going to fight with him. Let him do his podcast the way he wants to do it because I don't want to deal with it, frankly. So I just feel underappreciated sometimes because I don't think he understands how much work goes into writing all his descriptions and uploading all this stuff for him, and all he does is come in here and record. So he doesn't know, and honestly, he just doesn't know how much work goes into it. and kind of feel underappreciated sometimes for all the work that I do for him. But anyways, check out James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, heard on HMBRadio.com. He talks to comedians and stuff. We got the jazz show coming up after my program here on Radio St. Pete and the indie circuit at 10. So check that out. All right, Creative Loafing's Ray Roa coming up next. HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete.
Cool.
Ray, what's up, man?
What's going on? Well, I did. Sorry, I'm late.
It's okay. You're more on time than most people are.
Okay.
These things.
Compared to the standard, then I feel okay.
Yeah, you're good. So, awesome. Ray, you do a whole bunch of stuff.
I did do a whole bunch of stuff, but I recently kind of downsized on the things I was doing. Yeah, so I was doing a lot of stuff. I was running Suburban Apologist with a small group of people. That's a Suburban Apologist is a music and culture blog. I was working at an advertising agency, helping develop content for them and some of the clients. Doing social media for Gasparilla Music Festival, Rooster and the Till, contributing to the Tampa Bay Times, TBT newspaper, and Creative Loafing. And I'm trying to think of what else I was doing. I was doing a lot of different things, but they all...
I saw you do MNF stuff.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to sub for Nancy. She has a Thursday show. She was out of town, so they asked me to sub, and I'm happy to do that.
Is your background in writing?
Yeah, I mean... I took some journalism classes in college and worked on newspaper. I've always written. I didn't go to journalism school, so that always feels weird. But, yeah, I mean, I've written.
I wonder if you even need it anymore.
I don't know.
In this new media?
I feel like, you know, there's a certain level of hard work that you can do. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of valuable things you can learn in journalism school and you know, being around a certain group of people and making connections. I suppose I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've never felt...
you know what everybody who has journalism degrees are doing now?
What's that?
They're all in marketing.
Yeah.
Every single one. I know one person in my life that is actually writing now.
It's tough.
I know it's very competitive, but I'm wondering, like, things are changing. We were kind of talking about it. New media, self-publishing is big now. Just making your own content. You don't really need... these outlets now. You can just do it yourself.
Yeah, I think you can do it yourself, and then the danger in that is that you do end up with this huge volume of published work that a lot of it isn't as accurate as it is, and I think that's kind of the great thing about journalism, and when it gets kind of boiled down, you kind of, there's a few that kind of stand alone as reputable people who only report the truth.
I don't believe anything anymore from any
media.
It's
tough. It's really tough, and I think it's hard. And I think that's part of forming your own relationships with journalists, whether or not you know them or not. You know, you develop trust or you develop a distrust. It's the same thing with bands, I think. You know, in a lot of ways, you're kind of projecting your own feelings and beliefs on this person whose, you know, craft you're receiving.
It's hard not to do that. I mean, you're going to have your own bias, and it's going to show. I don't know if there's any way around that. But, like, even today, I saw Clinton was at the Coliseum. The capacity is 1,800 people. The Times listed as 2,000. Not that big of a deal.
Right.
Being a bit of a stickler. But just looking up, okay, this capacity is 1,800, so it must be 1,800.
Where was it? Coliseum?
The Coliseum, okay. Yeah, in St. Pete.
Yeah, so I guess and there was no chairs or whatever. I mean, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think it was a standing room.
I don't know if it's, like, legal capacity or you know, I don't know. Like, that, and that's the thing. There's not enough time to check up on a lot of facts, you know.
Is that because you're just faced with these deadlines, you have to push this stuff out, you got to get it done?
Well, I think if you're the person writing the story, then it's the onus is on you to check that fact.
Absolutely.
As the reader, I guess is what I meant. Because there isn't time to fact check every single, you know, thing you read. That's why I love Snopes. Mm-hmm. You know, you just plug it right
even
in there.
Even them. I'm like, you're a couple that live in New York or something, right? Like, what do you do? You know, you just fact check as much as I do. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're right.
Oh, dude, it's wild. And the crazy part is, okay, so a site like Snopes can be super relevant because everything else is so
trash.
Whacked out.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it. It's just, it's so out there, you know. I'm interested to see what Facebook does with their new spam filter to see if it kind of filters out some of these weird headlines and see how the algorithm responds to that. But it's so hard to sift through news, and it's a little bit depressing when you see some of your friends on both sides of whatever issues are going on kind of sharing news that hasn't been vetted at all.
I know.
You know?
And there is a lot of that. But I recently discovered the unfollow button on Facebook. Holy moly, is my life much easier now. And I'm like, this is going to save so many of my friendships by never interacting with you on social media again.
There is a lot of stress in seeing people. I've seen some close friends post some crazy things, and I actually unfollowed somebody once, and I felt like my whole news feed changed.
Yeah.
And I got paranoid, so I disabled that unfollow because I just wanted to receive the feed as it was.
Yeah, but you're not even getting it because there's so much that the algorithm takes care of it for you, too.
It's crazy. But I felt like, you know, there's like that paranoia, you know, we are kind of, you know, you're going on this tinfoil hat or like this crazy thing. But it's like, I was like, okay, well, this person that I unfollowed probably likes these types of things and writes about these kinds of things. And now I'm losing some. I just started getting paranoid, and I was worried that I wasn't being fed the full breath of what I could have. I was putting limits on what I was receiving. So
I notice a lot of people will do, they have their one site that they go to, and that's where they get their news from.
ByPartisanReport.com or like Red State or whatever. Like,
and it's like, dude, take the time, take a break, go somewhere else, look something else up. And nobody wants to do
so
that.
So maybe it's people don't really want. It goes right down to the thing where people just want to be told that they're right.
They have their mind made up.
Yeah.
And this is what I don't understand. I talk about it constantly. But what are you getting out of posting anything political on your page? You're either going to get people who go, I like that, have a thumbs up, or you're going to alienate a lot of your friends.
Right.
So what? Just everybody's got – you're not going to – I've never saw anything political or what, mostly political stuff where I saw it and I was like, oh, my God.
This changes
everything. It changed my mind. It's like, I know how I feel. You know how you feel.
Right.
Let's just – I mean, I know, like, what else are you going to do with Facebook? I get it.
Yeah.
I don't really post anything on Facebook.
Right.
Maybe a joke or something if I think of
something. I don't know. It's tough because I go back and forth with that too. Like, but I'm not going to tell somebody how to use their social network, you know? So
I just receive it and turn it off when I need to.
And it's a shame because there's an opportunity to share a lot of great things.
Absolutely.
Or what we think are great things. So I guess it's all relative. And I think that's the one thing we forget about social networks is it's our choice to use them. You know, so, but, I mean, who knows, man? You can go down all kinds of crazy paths. Like, you know, you're talking about, you just want to know that you're right or somebody to agree with you or just put it out there. But it's like, at what point we keep trying to be objective and read both sides of the story. Is it wrong if we continue down that path and we don't make a decision about something? You know, are we avoiding making a decision or standing by something?
I think the thing, too, with posting stuff on Facebook, I'm okay with having discussions, but let's do it in a bar where we can sit face-to-face and have a conversation because there's no tone. You can't tell tone sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And a sentence can read, what do you mean by that type of thing? And then you just go on and, you know, cursing this person out, and they didn't really mean it that way. And you also say things that maybe you wouldn't say if the person was right next to you.
A comment thread is the most dangerous thing, especially on Facebook, where the more you comment, the more the weight it gets, you know, put on it, so that it just starts proliferating because Facebook thinks it's important, and all of a sudden everybody's commenting and things like that. But, yeah, you make a good point about, you know, being in front of somebody. As great as the Internet is at connecting people forget that they're supposed to use this Internet to broaden their world, but also their own little local world. Like, you're supposed to connect with more people in real life.
Yep.
You know? It's like, why did we have international pen pals when we were kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you're supposed to make your world bigger through the conduit of whatever communication technology is available. So I think people forget that. But then there's a lot of, like, social things that go on. People have social anxiety and things like that, and you know, maybe a social network allows them to interact with people more than they would in real life. So maybe it's a step. I mean, who knows?
I just don't think it's real communication. It's not, what do you call it, interpersonal communication, where you're actually face-to-face.
You're definitely missing a lot.
Because there is, I mean, you can just state, you know, your facts, your truth, but you're missing the connection, the making eye contact, talking with somebody, filtering yourself, feeling out the vibe, the emotion of a conversation. And then you see these things all day. It's like, what are you doing with your day? How do you have this much time to type an essay, five of them in a row? What are you doing with your day, dude?
It's rough. And I've had days where I've scrolled through the feed longer than I should have. But, yeah, it is kind of crazy to think that some people spend – I mean, it's a lot of screen time.
It's kind of why I like Twitter, because you can only say a certain amount.
Right.
So if you're going to fight with somebody, you only have that much. So right. You really got to think about it.
You can be real witty. You remember when Spin did 140-character record reviews for a while?
Oh, yeah? Are they still doing that?
No, I think it was a failed experiment. I think they did it for like a year or something like that. So.
And this was on Twitter?
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But, yeah, I mean – the preferred method of communication is definitely in person.
Absolutely.
You know, learning to listen, and which is hard to do.
That's part of talking is listening, a big part. Actually listening to what the person has to say so you can respond dutifully. Dutifully? No. Dutifully? Is that right?
I think I know how it looks on the page. D-U-T-I-F-U-L-L-Y, right?
I always say words and just screw them up constantly.
I think that's how people... I think that's how language evolves. Like, all the best band names are from, you know, accidents. And I think if you're not trying to make stuff up, then you always have to be contributing something more to the existing thing, right?
I like to think it's endearing, but I think probably people are just like, this guy's a moron. I'm like, yeah, you're
right. Nah, dude, you got to keep going down that thing. It's such a strange impulse when, because, you know, you're a creative person or whatever, but you're like, and then, like, when you get done talking with somebody, you're like, oh, man, I can't believe I said all that stuff, you know?
I don't, with this, I've been doing this for a few years now, open book, man. Whatever I say, yes, that's what I said. I don't fret about it anymore. I won't listen to any of these, but I'm not afraid of what I say anymore.
Oh, I'm the same, man. You can ask me anything, I'll pretty much tell you, maybe to a fault.
Yeah, I think that's good, though, in the long run. I mean, as long as you're not being a jerk.
Right.
But even if you're a jerk, so you're a jerk. Big deal.
Yeah, I think there's different ways to being a jerk, and it's finding a different level of honesty. And it's still an art that I'm trying to figure out in my young life. How old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay, we're the same age.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes me feel good, because I talk to everybody who's 24, and they're like, yeah, I got this great career. I'm like, God.
I know. You're like, what did I do wrong?
Fulfilling your dreams at this age, good for you, and then secretly resent them a little bit along the way. So you just got a new gig.
I did.
At Creative Loafing, took over for Leilani.
Yep, Leilani's moving to Seattle, and I was asked to come fill in, which was great. You know, part of it is bittersweet because I do offboard, you know, letting go of a lot of things that meant a lot to me in my life and a lot of people that mean a lot to me. But the opportunity to write for that paper where they nurtured me for 5 years and where I get to serve this community. I mean, it's a dream job. It's 5 minutes from my house. You can bring your dog to the office.
Yeah.
It's great, man. I'm really spoiled.
Have you been always into music?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as long as I can remember, I made a lot of decisions based on music. I once cried to the Lion King soundtrack because I thought some girl I had a crush on liked my friend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the worst. I remember Elton John was singing to me, you know.
What was Elton John? It wasn't Candle in the Wind.
It was Can You Feel the Love
Can
Tonight.
You Feel the Love
I had
love
it on
tonight.
This green cassette. I remember I had sprained my neck playing basketball, so I had this neck brace on. And I was sleeping in this bed in my parents' room because we lived in Los Angeles, and there was just an earthquake like a month before or something.
Uh-huh.
So I think I wasn't feeling great, and maybe there were some structural issues, but I was sleeping in their room on the ground, listening to this tape with a neck brace on, crying because...
Oh, no. That's so sad.
So, yeah, I've always been into music, and then I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of people who were heavily involved with the music scene, and I think their enthusiasm was just very contagious, and that's a very fortunate situation to be in where you can just kind of ride somebody else's energy and you know, move forward in your own life.
So is your duty at Creative Loafing to cover more local stuff, or is it just music in general?
I think I'm still kind of finding my way, and I think the hope that they have is that, yeah, I do cover a lot of local things, and I was talking with my editor, Jay Cridlin from The Times. And
Jay on here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. Jay's a great guy. When we talk about, like, consummate journalists, like, he's the real deal. Like, he wouldn't take a sub-app T-shirt from me because he had written about, like, an anniversary show that we had, you know? Like, he's like, honest, just covers the, like, news. He always wanted to be a newspaper guy. You guys probably talked about that.
Yep.
But he was like, yeah, this town deserves more music coverage. And, you know, just in the 5 days that I've been at Creative Loafing, I felt I've been able to cover a little bit more. And it's been nice kind of honing into one thing. And I look forward to just getting in something of a groove and really figuring out, you know, what my role is in the community. So, yeah, I want to cover local. I want people to be aware of the creative people in their community and to take a chance on supporting them. You know, you don't have to be out at a bar every night, but I think if you make a conscious decision to go to a local coffee shop versus a Starbucks, and why wouldn't you make a conscious decision to spend $7 on a cover, or even just go to the Benz where there's no cover and catch a great band. And
yeah, they got somebody playing there, like, every night.
Dude,
7 days.
It's crazy. I was like,
Ale and the Witch, too.
Ale and the Witch is, like, this hidden gem, and I don't know what's going on with that complex, right? It's up for sale or something. I don't know.
I've heard many rumors.
Right, yeah.
I heard that the owner made a butt ton of money and is just going to retire, but I heard that years ago.
Right.
And then I heard he was going to open another one.
Right.
And then I know that the barbecue place is closing,
okay,
and I think speculation,
right,
he's going to make that into the venue, the
cool
music venue.
Yeah, I think that place is really cool, and that's where, you know, it's cool to chase down rumors and confirm some things, and because people deserve to know what's happening in their town. Like, we're pretty lucky, or I'm pretty lucky to write about music. You know, I'm not writing about hungry kids necessarily, or corrupt politicians, mm-hmm, or death and crime. You know, I'm writing about art, and art's very important, and people deserve to know things, but, you know, I am cognitive of the fact that there's some bigger things going on, but I think the art scene deserves to be covered.
And there's a lot happening. This area has blown up, just Tampa Bay in general.
I think I saw
something that performing, I think it was like St. Pete Arts Alliance, artists have gone up like 47% or something in the past 10 years.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd like to see that.
I think that's what it was, some one of those things. So there's a lot happening and a lot to talk about, and we need Creative Loafing, sub-app, and now I'm doing the covering a comedy on my website to hear about these people, because if not, what are they doing it for, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really cool, and Creative Loafing's in a great position now with, you know, unfortunately, the Tribune is gone. You know, it's a total bummer when there's not two daily newspapers in the town.
I thought they were doing both of those.
They just acquired them. If you subscribe to the Tribune, you get a Tampa Bay Times.
Oh, okay.
And the Times is great. I mean, they do great stuff, but, you know, the role of Creative Loafing as an alternative weekly just becomes that much bigger and that much more important to the community, and I think that's a great opportunity, and I feel really lucky to be jumping on at this time as they grow into that. So I'm stoked. They got a great team over there that works really hard, and, you know, I hope to match their energy and efforts and do good for them and do good for the community. So
I wonder if someone's going to step in and some rich guy or lady,
who knows,
and start,
man,
a new paper. It seems like every big city has at least two papers.
Some do. It's becoming less and less common. I think it's important, but I think publishing is a daunting task. You know?
And you don't really need it with the internet now, too.
It's rough, man. I mean, we forget. Like, you know, we use the internet so much that we forget that there is a population that still picks up, you know, paper and reads paper. And you remember when you were a kid and you would read the paper when you're eating your cereal or whatever?
Yep.
Like, there's people that still live like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're picking up the paper every other day, weekly, once a month. So for some people, that's all they have. So
I like the idea of having I can't read. I can read, like, articles online, but I won't do the Kindle thing, like reading books. I can't do that.
Yeah, it does feel weird. Yeah, it's like I'd rather just have the book. Like, go on Amazon and go buy it for $2.
Yeah.
Real quick, get it sent to your house.
I don't know what the difference is. I think it's knowing how much longer you have to go or something.
There is a little bit of that. I think, you know, just the sheer fact that 20 minutes ago you mentioned it's important for you to sit down in front of somebody like at a bar versus having a conversation in the comment thread. I think that just kind of maybe speaks to maybe an idea in yourself that, you know, you value being in the same space as somebody, breathing in the same air, you know, you're sharing the same kind of, what is the word, pheromones or whatever. It's very human.
Mm-hmm.
And having a book or a magazine is human. And the only thing that sucks about it is they accumulate dust in your house after you, because you never want to get rid of them.
Right.
So
I'll pick up a Creative Loafing or a TBT.
Uh-huh.
Cannot tell you the last time I've opened a Tampa Bay Times, though.
What about, but you opened the TBT.
TBT, sure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's sections. You know what I mean? The strange part is, you know, most of the news, like you said, happened already. But I think once you start finding the little nuggets of the things that you enjoy that are in the paper and you can't really find instantly on the web, I think that's what people become endeared to. They become endeared to voice, to personality, and to they feel like they know somebody. Like I read a story a couple years ago, and this guy was eulogizing a priest or somebody. And I was like, man, that was just a great thing that I read, and I called him. You know, straight off the paper. And I said, dude, I just read this thing and it was awesome. He's like, thanks.
Oh, you called the author of the piece?
Yeah, I called the writer. And I think some people are into that. And a lot of it's time, you know. I wish I had time every morning to...
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a fact.
Sit down.
I wonder when people did have the time to do that. I think there's always, like in the 80s, the sitcoms. Like, did you watch Stranger Things?
I haven't yet. Everybody keeps telling me to do that.
It's
good.
But they had the family scene, and I wonder if it's hyperbole almost, like if that's really the way it was, but they had the dad sitting at the breakfast table with a paper open and kind of half listening to the kids, half reading the paper type of thing. And I don't remember, well, my parents were divorced too, so but we never sat down at the table ever.
Right. Well, I think everybody's parents should have been divorced at some point.
Now it's getting worse and worse.
But, I mean, we did that a little bit. I mean, I remember... I'm Filipino. I grew up Filipino, so we'd be eating, like, rice and eggs.
Was that a choice? You're like, I'm going to be Filipino.
You know, dude, who was I talking to the other day where they were like, I forgot. It was some, like, identifying as something or just wanting to choose how you're born or something like that. But, yeah, we were eating, like, pork and rice and eggs in the morning. I remember reading the paper, like, on a Sunday. But that's because we had one. It wasn't internet, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
so
right.
It's like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You start with the funnies, and then you end up reading sports, and then you just end up going all the way down the line. So we did it.
I think now with the online stuff, too, is your voice is customizable. You can find a suitable outlet for, like I said, when people just post from one thing. And they found their voice, they found their outlet. This is what they believe.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think that's good. That's also bad, though. There's definitely a double-edged sword there.
People need to be challenged, you know? People need to have conversations or
but papers aren't doing that either. I mean, the Times definitely has their bias and their point of view.
Well, I think now that they acquired the Tribune, they have an even more balanced view in editorial specifically.
Really? I would have thought it would be
the opposite. I've seen some conservative views and some you know, liberal views in there, specifically with things like TBX. I don't know if you're familiar with that. You guys probably don't deal with it too much over here.
Mm-mm.
They're FDOT is proposing expanding I-275 corridor around downtown. Essentially, the highway is going to expand and cut into some neighborhoods that are being rejuvenated right now. So everybody's fighting about that. Long story short, you know, they published an op-ed, and then they actually published one that, you know, had the other side. So I think that's something nice that happened with them. And I think they can only cover things a certain way, and I think that's why it's important for, you know, Kate at Creative Loafing to kind of step in and cover things her way, too. So it's a crazy time, man. There's a lot of news to cover, and there's not a lot of people to cover it.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of people, but there's people that maybe aren't journalism majors. There are people that are just doing it themselves, and they're going to... Like Twitter Periscope, right?
Right.
With that, I just got that. I don't know how to use it, but I just got it. And people are just documenting what they see.
Right.
And you have the video right there.
Right.
And I think that's great because there is no, I mean, it is what it is.
It's pure fact. It's visual note-taking in the purest form. And no, that stuff's great. I forgot the guy's name that got shot up in Michigan. His girlfriend had the Facebook Live video. Remember that? It was right after Alton Brown.
Oh.
It was like on the same day.
Oh, he had a great name. It sounded like a pirate. Philip like Castile Prince, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he had a very regal name, but man, that's crazy. I mean, part of me, I can't believe it's real.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, even with that, though, you get after it happened. You don't know what happened just before that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's who knows what
happened. But still, it's like there's a camera on while something's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's important. And it'll be neat to see how that kind of evolves and news gets reported and things like that. Because even the big stories, you know, they acknowledge that they're running video that they have online that they haven't confirmed all the facts yet.
Yeah, that's scary a little bit.
You know, and I don't know what that impulse is. There is an impulse to want to be first or whatever, but I think...
Well, you have to be in order to become the go-to. You got to be the, like, oh, they broke this story, so I'm going to go right to them in the future.
And yeah, but you can't break it with wrong facts or misleading ones. You know, it's like...
You shouldn't anyways. They
right,
do.
They do. You're right.
But it'd be nice
if they didn't, so, yeah.
I wonder how you get around that.
By taking your time.
And yeah, like, but then you're sunk. Somebody else already got to it, and then by the time you get to it, because people want instant gratification. They don't want to do any research, or they want it now.
See, I want to be right. Like, my most embarrassing times are when I mess up really bad, or misspell somebody's name, or get a fact wrong, or, I mean, that's really embarrassing. It, like, ruins my day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd rather
well,
do
see,
that.
I like that. There's someone that's in the media that... You're not just because a lot of these people won't hire staff writers. They'll hire on freelance basis, and they have to make their money. I got to pump out 5 stories today, otherwise I'm not going to be able to eat.
Right.
And then they just write whatever they want, and it's not. It may could be true, maybe not.
Right.
Who knows?
All based on web traffic. And,
yeah. It's just clickbait. News in general is clickbait.
I think that'll get kind of whittled down. I mean, I hope. Who knows? It's tough, man, because you see it, and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So you just got to click on the stuff you trust, I guess.
You got to use your gut, man. Yeah. Like if something sounds wonky, it probably is.
Yeah.
And you just got to trust that, I guess. Ray Rowe is joining me from Creative Loafing. What's your vision for Creative Loafing's music section? What do you want to do with it?
I think Leilani served the community really well, so I want to continue a lot of that. I'm scared that me living in Tampa means I'll cover less of St. Pete, but I found I've been able to write some St. Pete stories. I look forward to being here more. My vision is that, well, let's put it this way. 5 or 6 years ago, I started writing blog posts for this website called Consequence of Sound, and we were writing news stories twice a day, or I was, based on national artists, musicians, and I was like, why don't we treat, you know, local musicians like that? So Subapp gave me that opportunity. It was really fun, and I want to continue to do that here. There's a ton and ton of good music. Like, if there's music out and it's coming from Florida and specifically the Bay Area, then I want to write about it. If it's coming through the Bay Area, then I want to write about it, you know? Because, one, I enjoy listening to music, you know? It's stupid. I get to put headphones on and listen to music, you know?
Yeah.
And write about it, ask about it, and, you know...
How do you get access to these people that, like, let's say you want to write about something.
Right.
How do you go through the process of, you know,
talking to these
people?
It depends on the artist. You know, some of them you can just email right off the bat. You get a Facebook page, hit about, there's an email. Either it's a press person or it's them. And you say, hey, I'd like to ask this person a couple questions about this song or whatever. And you either get to ask them or you don't. You know, and then you try again if you don't. And you just keep going down the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just the ask. You just find out who that person, what it is, pass the question, whether it's passing through email and they pass it back to you, or the person emails you themselves, you know, called countless people on their cell phones to have conversations, you know. So you just ask. I'm a big believer in the ask.
You always have might get a yes.
I'm a big believer in
that. Did I see something that you talked to Brian Wilson from
the Beach
Boys?
I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow.
Really?
So I'm pretty nervous about that. He's supposed to call.
He's a weird guy, isn't he?
He has a reputation for being strange. We got to think about it. The Beach Boys made some pretty progressive music for the time. I mean, it was pretty, you know, sugar-coated and sweet music, but sonically it was wild.
Yeah.
You know, so the guy's, but I've heard he's a little calm now.
Wasn't he in an insane asylum at one point?
I don't know.
I think he was committed for a little while. And is he deaf now, too?
I wouldn't doubt that, like, almost every musician at his age, I think he's, like, 74. I don't know, but...
I saw him at Bonnaroo, I think, 2012.
Was he good?
Yeah, but it was... It looked like he wasn't there.
Sure.
He was there, but the other guys were kind of, dancing right. around. He ain't doing that.
Yeah.
And he looked...
I think
empty.
His health was pretty
empty.
Bad. Yeah, I think that has to do with, like, medicine and
yeah, the nootropics or whatever they give you, depression meds will drain you.
Yeah, but he's supposed to call. That's one of those things where I imagine it being like this. You know, the guy sits in front of a desk, like, here, they got a phone in the middle. They're like, hey, we're going to call 8 people today. It's a 15-minute conversation. You're going to be here for 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that maybe 3 or 4 times a week, and a bunch of journalists ask you a bunch of stupid questions. And you're going to do whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. It's kind of crazy.
What are you going to ask him? I didn't even know what to say.
I have no clue. What I usually do is read other interviews,
uh-huh.
the recent ones, and then try to ask follow-up questions based on that. Because I can report on other interviews, right? Say you said this to that person, and what about that? So I always want to add something new to whatever's already been told. I mean, the scary part is that every story that I ever be told is already told.
Right.
That's probably not the case. But with so much media now, I'm scared to ask a question that somebody's been asked already.
This is what I find. I don't prepare at all for these. I probably should, but I like the idea of you're going to find out something new. You're not asking the same questions. Through conversation, you're going to find, oh, wait a minute, and then you can kind of touch on that. I had J.B. Smoove on from – you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I think so. No, I was thinking of somebody else.
He was he's stand up. He was at the Palladium.
Okay, so he comes in here.
No, I got him on the phone.
Okay.
But I had no questions prepared for him, of course. And then he pretty much just gave me life advice on women for 40 minutes. It was great.
Yeah, some people just will go down the line of what they're going to talk about. I talked with David Lee Part last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with him. Adult Swim.
Okay.
Tim and Eric, and he just went off about some Brass Trains, aliens, and all this stuff. I mean,
oh, David,
he's the puppeteer. He's got the puppets.
Yes, I do know. Yes, is he doing a show here?
Yeah,
or something?
He's playing on the 13th. What is that, Saturday or something like that? So
what does he do?
He does
like a variety show.
He just wrote a punk album, so he's a musician.
Oh,
he's
really?
Part of he grew up in Christian Science.
Uh huh.
So he writes a lot of religious music.
Interesting.
And he's part of our organization, but he's just a crazy musician, and he's probably got some mental issues. But he
I thought he was kind of hamming that up because I've seen him on some of those things, but maybe not. Maybe
I don't know, man.
Crazy.
Talking to this guy on the phone, it was wild. So, it was wild.
Yeah, didn't he say he got abducted by aliens and he made contact?
Yeah, said they gave him a computer or something like that. Like, that's what he was talking to me about. He's like, when they gave us the computers... You know, they warned us that if we weren't careful, they were going to take over. You know, so, I mean, he was dead serious, so I was like, all right.
Did you ask him where his computer was? I'd say, I want to see your computer.
I couldn't get a word in with him, so.
Yeah. All right, Ray, you want to stay for extra time? Or you got to go?
Yeah, I'll stay for a little extra time.
All right, we'll check out the HMB sides then. It'll be right on the RSS feed. Make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio. Because that is web-exclusive content. Ray, give out your social media.
My social media is at Ray Roa. That's RayRoa. I think that's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
See, that's easy. You got a good one.
I did. I got lucky.
Yeah.
Somebody has my email address, a Gmail address. But other than that, yeah, that's what I have. I should be on the other ones. I mean, I Periscope every now and then. And there's so many, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with.
It's tough. But, yeah, just Ray Roa.
Very good. That'll Ray, work. Thank you for coming in. We'll see you on the HMB sites. Check out HMBradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete for the jazz program. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's jazz. And a guy hosts it live. I forget his name, too. Really professional on my part. But enjoy that. And then we got the indie circuit coming up. At 10.